Audio on Clairvoyants of Poland. The value of case studies. A case study often involves an intensive examination of a specific issue or individual or event. It has been suggested that more discoveries have emerged from using case studies than from relying on statistical analysis of large samples. Vernon, 2021, pages 12 to 13. The selection of studies presented in this chapter include a number of cases from Jackowski's dossier, chosen as representative of his kind of clairvoyance, and a number of impeccably documented cases from two other clairvoyant virtuosi as comparative material. Jackowski's cases are a small fraction of his dossier, and they are not presented in chronological order. Instead, we start with a case that may be the most remarkable in the range of aspects of clairvoyance it demonstrates, followed by an interview with the police officer involved, quoted in full. Krzysztof Jackowski. Case 1. Murder with roots in the past, 2006. Location, Bedsin, Silesian Highlands, southern Poland. Case summary. In the winter of 2006, the fire brigade was called out to a fire in a block of flats at a street in the town of Bedsin, in southern Poland. The firemen succeeded in putting out the fire and preventing the whole building from being destroyed. One flat was badly damaged by the fire, the one inhabited by the owner of the block. When the firemen and the police examined the damaged flat, they made a macabre discovery. In the kitchen there were two charred bodies. The postmortems showed that in both cases death was caused not by fire but by knife wounds. There was no doubt that the two people were murdered before their bodies were set on fire. Investigation of the circumstances of this crime was not getting anywhere. Various hypotheses were explored but all came to a dead end. Finally, three investigating officers from Bedsin undertook the long journey from Silesia to Czluczał, Jackowski's hometown in Pomerania, in northwestern Poland. On arrival they presented the clairvoyant with bags of scorched rags, tied and secured but still with the smell of burning emanating from them. After an initial blankness, with the bags in the room, Jackowski got what he calls a vision. He has an impression of a shop, a tiny shop with paints, owned by a young married couple. There is also a young girl there, employed as a trainee. The shop appears to be in the same block where the killing took place. Jackowski senses that the murderer is the man who manages the shop. He also becomes aware that the man has left his wife and is living with a trainee who worked in the shop. They were having an affair. The wife found out about it and that was the main reason for their splitting up. Another impression he has is that it all happened much earlier than the murder, something like 2 or 3 years. Jackowski then makes a note. The trainee knows that the shop manager killed the owner of the block and the other victim, a tenant. The clairvoyant suggests that the trainee should be the first to be interrogated. When he reads out his notes to the policeman, they do not believe him. None of it makes sense. His stories have nothing to do with the investigation. There is no shop in that block. It's an old, dilapidated building. After the session, the police officers told Jackowski that there were quite a few homeless people always trying to spend the night in the cellar, and the owner kept calling the police to get rid of them. The police knew quite a lot about the homeless and were pretty certain it was one of them, but they were a very closely knit group, so there were no clues, as we are. Tkowska and Jackowski, 2012, Volume 1 p. 136. Disappointed. The policemen depart, leaving the clairvoyant feeling guilty about his failure. A few days later, when he was beginning to get over that unfortunate episode, one of the policemen from Bedsin telephoned him and told him that he was right. The police checked out his story and it turned out that 3 years earlier there had been a little shop with paint in that block, run by a married couple, and they had a girl trainee. The police located the wife of the ex-shop manager, who told them that her husband turned out to be a scoundrel. They were divorced, and her former husband was living in a village with their ex-trainee, who had a child by him. When the police went to the village and started interrogating the girl, she admitted almost at once that her partner told her what happened, that he did not intend to kill the old woman. He owed her money and she threatened to take him to court, so he went to her to try to come to some agreement. Instead, they had an argument. He got upset, hit the old woman on the head with something and she fell down. At that moment a tenant from a neighboring flat came in to find out what all the screaming was about and was also dispatched. The decision to ask Jakowski for help was taken by the then district chief of police in Bedzin, Insp. Darius Zbrandis and his second in command, Insp. Zbigniew Klimas, who later became first deputy chief of police in the voivodeship of Katowice, and recounted the case as follows. In January 2006 a block of flats in Bedzin was set on fire. After the fire was extinguished two bodies were found, and the post-mortem established that these were the owner of the block and her tenant, explained Klimas in the monthly Politica 997, June 2013. Their injuries pointed to homicide, but there was no motive. The investigation dragged on and we had done everything we could, so I decided to use a clairvoyant. My superiors were not too happy about it, but I was confident in my decision. The police went to Czluczow with objects that had belonged to the victims. Within a few hours the clairvoyant provided information about a witness. He told us to talk to the person whose location he gave us. The officers involved add, we went there. The witness, that is Jakowski, said the girl was troubled by the knowledge she had. Thanks to the information from Krzysztof Jakowski the criminals were caught. According to Inspector Klimas, Jakowski surprised the police officers who came to see him. He did not know whom to expect but he knew the policemen's names and told them precisely what their role was in the investigation. It is the job of the police to find the criminals, and how they do it is their business. I was never ashamed of this collaboration and later on I also had help from the clairvoyant on a number of occasions. We would not have solved this case without Jakowski. Based on Krzysztof Januszka's interview with one of the police officers who visited Jakowski, Commissioner Edward Adamek, superintendent of the District Criminal Investigations Department, police headquarters in Bedzin, in 2017, now retired. In January 2006 there was a fire in Bedzin, in a flat in an old apartment block, resulting, as initially thought, in the death of two people. However, it turned out that this was a case of arson, and the post-mortems showed that the bodies had incision wounds and craniofacial injuries, which meant that we were dealing with a double homicide. The decision to seek help from Krzysztof Jakowski was taken by my then superior, Insp. Darius Zbrandis and his deputy Insp. Zbigniew Klimas. My attitude was very skeptical, all the more so since it was one of my last cases before retiring. Moreover, I am a non-believer, and that includes life after death. But on the other hand I thought, what's the harm in trying? I found out from the police station in Czluczow how to contact Jakowski and then I set out on the night journey to Pomerania, northwestern Poland, with two other policemen. We got there early in the morning. And when I saw that clairvoyant, lighting one cigarette after another, I felt even more distanced from the whole enterprise, because I did not really believe in those abilities he was supposed to have. When we started talking he drew a few lines and said, I will throw a bit in here, and in here, and in here, but you with the knowledge you have will need to put it all together. He would give us the pieces of the puzzle and we were to put them together. Jakowski did not even know where we were from. We only told him that we were from Silesia and it was the question of a killing. So, we gave him the clothes and photos of the victims. He smelled them and put them to his forehead. Every few moments he would get excited, get up, smoke and walk around the flat. It was all spontaneous. Suddenly he started explaining to us, this killing has two aspects. At the beginning the perpetrators killed their victims, and then returned to remove the traces. And then he started saying something we did not understand. I have this impression of some little shop, where the owners are a married couple. There is also a young woman there, a trainee. The husband was cheating on his wife with her. When she, the wife, found out she left him and he started living with that trainee in some village. He is the murderer. He owed some money to the owner of the block. His girlfriend knows all about it. I see a village and a white church 8 kilometers from the place where the killing took place. After I heard that, I was totally mistrustful of his credibility and the point of our visit. What church? What 8 kilometers from the murder scene? Some sort of wind-up. So I say, mate, what the F are you talking about? And suddenly he says, there, where there is this church, that woman lives there who will tell you all about it. She worked in that shop. Her lover is the one who did it. Suddenly he says he is getting confused, takes a piece of paper and writes Jaskal on it. He then says, that's the word that comes into my mind, Jaskala, Jaskal. I don't know what this might be. So I then say, Krzysztof, next to me is sitting Jacek Jaskalski, the policeman who was the first at the crime scene. And then he said, it's you, I am getting mixed up because of you. I was surprised then, and we kept the piece of paper as a souvenir. On our way back from Jaskalski we were confused, but later on we saw a way forward because we established that there really had been a shop in that block, run by a married couple, and a young girl did work there. Where was she from? From Wojcicki Kiln, some 8 kilometers from Bedzin. And there really is a characteristic white church there. We also established that the victim, the owner of the block, lived alone, her whole family lived in Canada. She also had an apartment in the old town district in Warsaw, so she was quite well off. The perpetrator rented the premises from her and was behind with the rent. He was supposed to vacate them by 1st January, 2006. We needed a plan of action. Back in Bedzin we had a meeting in Chief Brandy's office, with the chief and his deputy Insp. Zbigniew Klimas, later deputy police chief of the Katowice Voivodeship. We decided to put a plan into action in a few days' time. 3 days later the police brought that girl from Wojcicki Kiln and she told the full story. There was building work being carried out, and when she was in the toilet she heard through a plaster wall her partner and his friend arranging the murder 39. They were discussing how to solve the problem. The man was keen to continue his business, by that time he was running a small bar there, but the owner of the block not only demanded the outstanding rent, but also wanted to terminate his lease. So he decided that the simplest solution would be to get rid of the woman. We then got into his computer and found he had recently been looking at fires, explosions and such like. His arrest was quite spectacular. We went with an anti-terrorist unit to Ionitz Zdroj, where he was having spa treatment. That's where we arrested him, and he confessed to everything. He then tried to pretend he was ill, but the medics would not confirm it and he was judged to be fit. We made an operational note of our meeting with Jaskalski, but we said nothing about it in court because we would have been laughed out of that court. I don't even know whether the perpetrators know that it was because of him, or thanks to him, that they ended up in prison. It was Jaskalski who made it possible for us to gather very strong evidence against them. I used to be fairly skeptical about things like that, but after meeting Jaskalski I came to believe that there must be something to it. There is no other option. Because, how could he have known all about it? It could not have been coincidence or luck. How could he have known that the killing did not take place somewhere in the forest, only in a building where there was a shop on the ground floor? That the name of one of the policemen is Jaskalski? That 8 kilometers from Bedzin there would be a village, with a church, and the witness would be living there? I live close to a church but I am not a believer. If I had not visited Jaskalski personally I would never have believed it, even from the most trusted policeman. I would think they perhaps embroidered a little, perhaps some coincidence. But I had been there. For I see a bloke who says Jaskal and that if we go to see a woman who lives 8 kilometers from the place where the killing took place she will tell us all about it and then we go to her, bring her to the station and she tells us everything, just as Jaskalski said. We never directed Jaskalski in any way while we were there. He had no access to the case records, and got no clues from us. We only gave him the clothing and photographs of the victims. What's more, when he was looking at the photograph of the man he said that he was not the killer's target and that his death was accidental. Later it turned out that this was true. The man heard shouting and went to see what was happening. He was simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. There is no possibility that Jackowski could have staged this whole story. If it had been a case that had been in the media, then perhaps you might try to think up some scenario, but nobody knew about that killing then, not even in Bedzin. To start with, there was only news of a fire. But he gave us a witness, who it was and where to find her. The police never admit officially to working with Jackowski. When I hear the spokesman from the police headquarters say that he does not believe that a clairvoyant helped and that the police do not work with people like that, I say, mate, what are you talking about, when you've only ever seen a corpse perhaps informal in some time in training? You were never at a crime scene. You have no idea what operational work is like, and you talk that sort of crap? Or is that what you have been told to say? I've come all the way from constable to chief inspector, so I do know a thing or two about it. Obviously, it sounds better when a case is solved by superb police investigation methods and not by using a clairvoyant. But sometimes you need to tell people the truth. Undoubtedly, in my case, Jackowski helped, and I am convinced that he is capable of helping other policemen. He has many statements from the police confirming his help in solving cases from all over the country. They are real, not forced or conventional courtesies, in spite of what some try to claim. Nobody blamed us for deciding to use Jackowski's help. Of course, it was quite risky. I myself did not believe on the way there, but on the way back, I did. For solving this case, Jackowski received from us thanks written by Chief Darius Brandis. I assure you, he is not the kind of man who would have put his name to something that was not true, or some meaningless bit of paper. Although I admit that the acknowledgement was expressed somewhat diplomatically. It said that Jackowski helped us, but in truth he solved the case for us. The police have nothing to lose by collaborating with a clairvoyant. You become a policeman, you take on this job to solve cases, by what method? It doesn't matter. What is important is that it should be legal. If standard methods fail, why not use unconventional ones? It's no shame and no loss. Obviously, a clairvoyant will not serve the solution on a plate, telling you everything in detail and identifying the criminal by name. He will tell you something, but the policeman investigating the case has to draw conclusions using that information himself. Should I be ashamed that I worked with Jackowski? I'll be honest, I felt greatly honored. We managed to put away two bastards who killed two people for the sake of 2,000 zlotys, £500. And that is not the only case where Jackowski helped. There are many of them. Even finding many missing persons, fathers, mothers, sons. Is it not a relief for the families to be able to bury their loved ones and get closure? Police press release about two killers being given a sentence of life imprisonment, District Police Headquarters in Bedzin. Life sentence for a killing from 3 years ago. The regional court in Katowice sentenced two residents of Bedzin to life imprisonment. The highest sentence possible in Poland. In a circumstantial prosecution, two men aged 28 and 29 were sentenced for a killing, which they carried out nearly 3 years ago on the night of New Year's Eve in 2005. To recap, in the early hours of the 2nd of January 2006, a fire started in one of the apartment blocks at Mordzjarska Street in Bedzin. During the firefighting action, the bodies of a woman and a man were found in two flats. It was established that the fire was started deliberately, and that the people had died earlier. Thanks to the efforts of the police in Bedzin, the probable course of events was established, and the perpetrators were identified and detained. The evidence gathered made it possible to take proceedings against them. They were also prosecuted for other crimes, that is, bodily harm and threats. The document reproduced below is the official statement thanking Jackowski and confirming his contribution in the case of the killing of Jadwiga S. and Tadas B. and arson at the apartment block, issued by the District Police Headquarters in Bedzin, signed by the District Chief of Police in Bedzin Insp. Darius Brandis and dated the 7th of August 2006. It reads, Your version of events coincided with one of the lines of investigation pursued by the police. The information you provided added to the existing material details, which were not known previously. This enabled officers from the criminal investigations section of the district police headquarters in Bebsen to undertake actions, which resulted in identifying a witness to the event and collecting the evidence that provided proof of the perpetrator's guilt and his temporary detention. With thanks for the help provided and hope for future collaboration. Art, Case 2, Where to Find Evidence, 2001. Location. Bydowski Mail, village in Mazuria, northeastern Poland. Summary. This killing took place in the village of Bydowski Mail in Mazuria. On 20th of May 2000 the police dug up the body of an elderly man, Wachlaw G. The head was missing, having been hacked off. The previous day around noon the man took a scythe and went to cut some nettles. When he did not come back at the usual time his wife looked for him near the railway track where they always cut nettles, but could not find him. The next day, after an anxious night, she alerted her daughter and the police in Ketsin, the nearest town. The police brought a tracker dog to Bydowski. The dog caught the scent and led them to the railway track, where in a water-filled ditch they found a sheet for gathering nettles and the man's scythe. Traces on the side of the track indicated that somebody had crossed to the other side, and not far from there a policeman noticed that the earth had been freshly dug. They started digging and found the man's headless body about half a meter under, with a handsaw next to it, most likely the tool used to cut off the head. They called in technical experts who suggested that the murderer might have forced alcohol down the victim's throat, which would account for the high level of alcohol in the victim's blood. Apart from the murder weapon, the police had no other clues. There were no possible motives, not one single anchor point. There were no indications that Wachlaw G. had any enemies. A number of hypotheses were investigated, including the idea that the crime was committed by Satanists, because of the way the killing was carried out. However, none of these versions led anywhere and finally the case came to a dead end. A year after the events the police decided to ask Krzysztof Jakowski for help. Two police officers from the SID section of the district police headquarters in Ketsin went to Czliuchow. They told the clairvoyant that the body of a middle-aged man had been found near a small village, next to a track, with the head missing. In a suitcase, in a paper bag, they brought the victim's work trousers that he had on when his body was found, with dried mud still on them. Since this item was part of the evidence, the officers could not leave Jakowski alone with it, which meant that they personally witnessed Jakowski doing a reading. He sat down opposite one of the officers, and, in spite of feeling a little awkward initially, he shortly seemed to become absorbed in the victim. His first impressions were that the man was walking along the road alone. Quiet, modest but happy because he seems to have been paid quite a lot of money. He then met another man, about 40. They talked and went to that man's house, an old house in the country, quite dilapidated. After a break the clairvoyant refocused and told the police officers that he felt the two men went into that house, that there was first a drinking session and then murder and robbery. In response to questions about the murderer Jakowski told them that the man had no wife or children, and that he lived with his father, who was very lame in his right leg. He then sensed that a fight broke out after the men got very drunk, with the host grabbing an axe and hitting the victim many times. According to Jakowski, the murderer then dragged the bloodied body to the barn nearby, took the money out of the victim's pocket, went back home and kept drinking vodka until he fell asleep. In the morning, when he woke up sober he remembered everything. He was probably in shock. He cleaned up quickly, washed the floor where the blood had splashed and dried. When things were more or less tidy he went to the barn, feeling frightened. He cut off the head, and seemed to have wanted to cut up the body and burn it in the stove. But after cutting off the head he gave up. He decided to get the body away, and that's what he did. What followed after another break was the most important piece of information for the investigators. Jakowski felt that there was something that might provide evidence in this case, even though after a year it was unlikely there would be any traces. It seems to him that the murderer hid the shirt he had on at the time inside the sofa, the bed in his room, and that had a lot of the victim's blood on it. If that shirt was still there, that would prove that the murder took place there. A week later, the suspect was under arrest. It was the victim's neighbor, 42-year-old Casimir's W., a bachelor who lived with his father, who was in fact lame. In their carpentry workshop, traces of the victim's blood were found, and a bloodied shirt in the old sofa bed. This was the main piece of evidence against its owner. In August 2001, the court in Ketzen had the man arrested at the request of the prosecutor's office, but the evidence was found to be insufficient and he was declared not guilty. The first not guilty verdict was given on the 4th of June 2003, but the appeal court in Białystok had it reviewed. The man was found not guilty again on the 22nd of October 2004. The court did not question the DNA evidence, but it could not be established when and how the blood found its way onto the shirt. Jackowski showed us the way. Based on Krzysztof Januszka's interview with Krzysztof Opiniak, retired officer from the police district headquarters in Ketzin, November 2013. I think we need to employ all the methods that might help to solve a case so long as they are legal. I think that some of the information obtained from Jackowski can be of practical use. I don't know about all of it. We got Jackowski to help us in three cases. In one case, thanks to his visions, we found evidential material. The man takes no money from the police, he never did. All he wants is confirmation in the cases where he really helped. He truly cares about documenting his work. We were being hassled all the time. Why did we go to Jackowski for help? For me, working in the police force at that time, that was normal, a personal source of information, that's all. I did not spend any official money on it. So if you have nothing, it is worth trying to get help, to get some anchorage. Where Jackowski is concerned, I need to start by saying that we had nothing, absolutely nothing to go on. Somebody had hidden a sheet with cut nettles in a culvert under the railway bank, that was all. There was no anchorage at all. Satanists, all sorts, the versions that were circulating. Just about everything was being considered. But at the end of the day, we were left with nothing, and that's why we went to see Jackowski. We gave him the dead man's clothing, and suddenly he started doing a session in front of us. He took the clothing in his hands, he crumpled it, he smelled it. Then he got up and walked around the room smoking. Then he told us what he sensed. He also asked for a bit more time so that he could try to put it all on paper. In a little while, he brought us four sheets torn out of a notebook, full of very detailed information. Among other things, he said that the killing involved father and son, farmers who have cows and horses. There are traces of blood in the building where there used to be a barn. The two managed to cut off the head. I have no idea how he could have known this. First of all, he never asked us what kind of killing was involved. All he wanted to know was what our problem was, and we said it was murder. Then he said that he wants to know the victim's first name, age, and something that had belonged to him. Nothing else. After he gave us his version of the events, we started checking out all the locals, and we did establish that the victim's neighbors were a father and son, and that they had a farm and a carpentry workshop. We had already interviewed them a number of times. We then brought in the technical people from the forensics lab, and they conducted a thorough inspection of the flat at the farm and that workshop. And they did find traces of blood in the workshop and in the flat. It was not a large amount, not such that one would get when hacking off a head, because there would be a lot of splatter, but there was blood. We found it on the clothes of the suspect and in the workshop on the floor, on a rag. It turned out to be the blood of the murder victim. Before these things went to be examined, we asked the suspect whether the murdered man ever visited him, whether he had perhaps cut himself on something there. But he said the murdered man had never visited and his blood could not be there. And then, when it turned out that the blood was there, he spent a year under arrest, until he was pronounced innocent by the court. We found the blood exactly where Jackowski told us it would be, That is why it says so in the letter of confirmation. There is no untruth there. Jackowski also wrote that the perpetrators tried to remove the traces, wash off the blood, but we would certainly find something.